All right. Good morning. Stocks have their best day of the year. Oil has its worst day since November. Amazon trading at $139 a share soon. Inflation numbers are in. CrowdStrike jumping 12% on earnings and much, much more. Today is Thursday, March 10th, and if this is your first time, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading, and with Marcus, typically on a morning like this, with watchful eyes and more than 50, well, almost 50 years trading experience, we sift through a mountain of websites, newsletters, and reports to see what really matters for the trading day, and we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know as you head into your trading day. And if this is your first time, I know it can be a little overwhelming, so don't worry, we have a special video just for you that we'll share in the description. It's a great place to get started to become familiar with the strategies that we're using here at Rockwell Trading and why these stock market updates matter. Well, let's get to the charts here. And I have the S&P 500 up. Wild markets continue. We mentioned that we continue to expect volatility. Volatility has not gone anywhere. The S&P 500 up 2.6% with its best day since June of 2020. The Dow also up nicely, up 2% yesterday, pulling out of correction territory with the 2% gain. And the NASDAQ here, the NASDAQ up 3.6% yesterday. This brought it out of bear market territory. So typically a drop from highs of 10% is considered a market correction. A drop of 20% is considered bear market territory. And the NASDAQ had closed in bear market territory, down 20% from highs. But with the rally yesterday popping out of bear market territory, we're going to see what happens today, because it is a new day with new drama and new market moves. We'll talk about what futures are doing. But I also want to bring up the VIX, because the VIX, which represents the fear in the market, it's known as the fear gauge, tracking S&P 500 option premiums. And the VIX is above 33, or trading at 33. And if you look here, you typically see spikes in the VIX, spikes in fear, they're overdone, and then they fall. Spikes, and then they fall. This is something that I'm going to discuss this afternoon in Coffee with Mark. We're going to break down the VIX and do a deep dive, but the VIX is up this morning, and we still have these elevated VIX levels showing that there is volatility in the market, and there's uncertainty right now, and it's not going away. It's not pulling back like it typically does after that spike. It's sustained at this point. Will it continue? We'll have to see, but this is going to be a topic later today. Let's get back to what's going on in the markets and what traders are focused on. And really, there's three things right now. It's the Russia-Ukraine situation, and unfortunately, recent talks ended without much progress. So that, you know, the potential for there to be some progress there could have fueled yesterday's rally. Some optimism there, but with talks ending without much progress there, reports that a hospital was bombed, just an unfortunate situation, and we're swinging back and forth with optimism and concerns, but right now looks like the futures are going to be lower without a whole lot being resolved there with those talks. You also have crude oil, which is also, you know, related to what's going on with the Russia-Ukraine situation. But crude oil, with these higher crude oil prices, crude oil up almost 5% today after being down 12% yesterday. So a big drop yesterday, a big slide. But with crude oil, high oil prices makes it more expensive because consumers are spending more money on energy needs than other things. But it also raises the costs of producing goods. So crude oil has an impact on inflation, and it's assumed that for every $10 increase in crude oil, it trickles down and has an impact on inflation and higher prices, raising prices by 0.1%, which it all adds up. 0.1% might not sound like a lot, but it all adds up, especially in an environment where we already have higher inflation and rising costs. And that was taking place when crude oil was between $40 and $70 a barrel. Now it's trading at $110. So this is in the spotlight. You also have the Fed, and today we had CPI data and inflation gauge. You could say inflation and CPI or inflation and the Fed being a concern for traders and definitely on the table, one of the top three things that traders are focused on right now. CPI data came in as expected. So CPI up 0.8% for the month, expected at 0.8%. Core CPI up 0.5% for the month, and there was the 0.5% expectation. So the numbers are in line with expectations. However, year over year, we're looking at 7.9% inflation. The last time we were higher was back in June of 1982 when we were at 8.4%. So this is a new attempt at levels that are decades in the making. Hopefully this is we're tabling here and we're not seeing the spike, although with the inflation numbers being from the previous month, we're not really seeing the impact of those higher crude oil costs right now. So inflation in line with expectations. We also had unemployment claims. Unemployment claims slightly higher than expected. The expectation was 220,000 Americans filing for first-time unemployment, and that was actually 227,000 last week. Not a big discrepancy or difference there. So this isn't so much of a big deal. The inflation numbers coming in line with expectations. You could say that that's a positive, or at least it's not a negative, because there wasn't this huge, huge surprise. But the real biggie here next week now is going to be the Fed statement. So there's a two-day policy meeting that begins on Tuesday, March 15th, that wraps up on Wednesday, March 16th. And we see that 2 p.m. Eastern time, we have FOMC economic projections, the FOMC statement, Fed funds rate, and at 2:30, there's a press conference. So the expectation right now is that the Fed will raise rates a quarter point. At one point, it was even discussed or thought that it would be a half a point, but it does seem like with some of the recent economic uncertainty that the Fed will be really targeted, or it's expected that the Fed will raise a quarter point. What traders are worried about, or what they will be focused on, is what the rate hike trajectory looks like, right? How many hikes are expected during the year? What the Fed says, do we have to be more aggressive with rate hikes to combat inflation, or with the numbers like we had today with CPI, if inflation is leveling, are they less concerned? And that's where the wording, the statement, and also the press conference is a big deal for markets. This realistically has a bigger impact on the U.S. economy and the U.S. markets. Although the situation in Ukraine is tragic, this is definitely going to be thrown back in the spotlight after recently the focus has been on Ukraine and the price of oil. So just some wild, wild markets here. And let's take a look at a few individual names. And I want to bring up Amazon first. So Amazon, you probably know the ticker, AMZN. Amazon is up in pre-market trading. So Amazon trading at $28.94 pre-market, up almost 4%. And they've announced that they're looking at a 20-for-1 stock split. So this means that if the stock split goes through, that Amazon would be trading around $139, $140 a share, which makes it more affordable for many people. There might be fractional shares that you could buy with a lot of brokers these days, but buying one share of Amazon for almost $3,000 or buying a share for $150, it makes it a little more accessible, right? So Amazon's just been, trading at these higher levels for a long time, in the thousands, getting up to almost 3,800, and that split would bring the share price down. It doesn't really have an impact for current Amazon owners because they would receive 20 shares for the one, but it would bring the price down, make it a little more accessible. This starts to bring up the discussion on whether or not Amazon will be a Dow 30 stock. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. But both Amazon and Alphabet, with these splits bringing them down to lower prices, there is talks that they might become blue chips. They might become Dow 30s. We'll have to wait and see there. Amazon also did announce a $10 billion buyback. So when the company's buying back shares, they're reducing shares from the market, which makes the value of the shares that are still in the market higher. So that's also driving this 4% move higher in pre-market trading. Let's look at another one here, CrowdStrike Holdings. So CRWD, the ticker, and nice little move here, up almost 12% pre-market. A Crowd reported earnings, and they had earnings that were better than expected. The company also issued an upbeat forecast for the year with cybersecurity demand increasing. So the demand increasing, they're expecting better numbers for the year, more interest, and CrowdStrike getting a little bit beat up here in the fall, finding some support down here around 160. Nice little jump here, CrowdStrike trading in this range, but a good pre-market move. We'll see where it trades at the open. Another company that reported earnings, Asana. There we go, ASAN. They're getting hammered pre-market, so down almost 26%. And they reported a smaller loss than expected and better revenue than expected, but the company said that they expect a wider loss than originally expected for the current quarter. So traders aren't taking that news well, and Asana getting hammered pre-market down 26%. So look at JD. JD. Marcus and I, we've stayed away from some of these Chinese names just because of the political risk combined with the economic risk, and economic risk and uncertainty in the market's enough, but a lot of the changes in China have not helped Chinese stocks and have made them more tricky to trade. Nonetheless, that looks like a good decision with JD down 11% pre-market. So after having a pretty decent range here, trading down here at 55.50, putting it at levels not seen since June 2020. JD saw an earnings beat with better profit and revenue than expected, but the Chinese e-commerce platform also saw its slowest revenue growth since early 2020, and it puts it right back around those 2020 levels. We got to take a look at Bitcoin. Gosh, this one, it's hard to figure out what the heck to do with Bitcoin here. On the bright side, there's a pretty nice range. On the downside, for anybody owning Bitcoin, it's having a hard time breaking through these upper levels here. Bitcoin down almost 7%. Some optimism yesterday after President Biden's executive order on digital assets came out, but it looks like that optimism has now faded with Bitcoin back below 40,000. So let's look at the futures markets. And if we look at the E-mini S&P here, E-mini S&P sliding, we could go to a 5-minute chart. And on a 5-minute chart, we see that just kind of opening after the big update that we had yesterday, moving sideways overnight, then a drop during the European session, and that drop has continued. A little bit of a positive reaction initially to CPI data, but that has subsided, and now we're trading back at overnight lows. So down 1.2%, giving up about half of yesterday's gains. The mini Dow also doing the same thing, almost an identical chart here. Positive reaction to CPI data, short-lived, now trading at overnight lows, down about 1.25%. And the Nasdaq leading the way higher yesterday, leading the way lower today, down 1.4%. Although it looks like there might be some overnight support here, it looks like traders have targeted this area. We'll see if it holds up as we approach the open, but futures are pointing to a lower start, not quite giving back yesterday's nice gains, but giving back a portion of them. So that's going to do it for today's stock market update. If you like this video, please give it a like, and we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, happy trading, everybody.